Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Welcome to the Shoutouts Weekly Highlights podcast with me, Georgie Coridge-Cole. This week, I'm joined by Lou Huff, Astrid Carter, and who else but Sophie Patterson.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming. Well, for anyone who doesn't visit the Shoutouts website but listens to the Shoutouts podcast, Sophie has teamed up with us to do a week with Sophie Patterson this week. So every day this week, we're running a different piece of content with Sophie. So we've had, it's Wednesday today, we've had a general sort of Q&A all about you and starting your business. We've had your interior design tips. Yes. And we've got lots more exciting content to come. Your Christmas tips, your little black book.
The house tour, which I'm very excited about.
And your home tour. I know, I can't wait for that. So that's a YouTube video. Very generously letting us all come in and have a look around your house.
Yeah. Looking forward to it.
Before we do a podcast, I always tell our guests they need to be five times more enthusiastic as they are in their normal day-to-day. And you said, oh God, we've picked the worst day, I've got energy.
Yeah. Well, for a start, I'm not a morning person. I sort of peak around 12 o'clock till about 4. It's a very short window. and I didn't sleep last night. So,
Yeah. You're hiding it very well.
Oh, thank
you. You're obviously grateful to be on a podcast then and not
so happy to be here. No, it's actually quite good because it's a really busy day at work and Ava's teething at the moment, so if I was at home with her, I'd be having a really tough day. So it's quite nice just to chill here and chat instead.
We're going to start off talking about shopping.
Sounds good.
Black Friday is behind us. I'm quite grateful.
Did you take part in it?
Well, I have to blame a couple of my team here.
Guilty as charged.
Lou and Charlotte, who kept sending me links to things that they knew I had my eye on. So I didn't buy anything for anyone else, but I bought myself a few things.
Yeah.
But I'm not really a Black Friday shopper. In all honesty, it sends me into a bit of a panic. I feel quite stressed by it. I'm going to buy the wrong things. I'm going to do things
I hate sales. I feel like all that happens when I go to sales, I see something that I've already bought full price, half price, and then just get really annoyed about it.
So you're not a sales shopper, not a Black Friday, Cyber Monday?
I'm not a massive... No, I don't really like buying clothes online on the whole because I'm so lazy, I never send them back, and then they just sit in my wardrobe and end up going to charity. And then if I go to the actual shop, I just get really claustrophobic with loads of people around me, so I tend to avoid the sales.
Yeah, I don't blame you. Astrid, Lou?
I find Black Friday so overwhelming. It makes me think I need to be buying everything.
Yeah.
It's too far away from Christmas that I feel like I'm going to do it for presents.
Yeah.
And I think, right, I'm just going to buy things myself. But I find it too overwhelming. I didn't buy anything of interest.
I find it quite overwhelming too, but I did buy these boots that I'm wearing.
Oh, which are fabulous. Very cool silver. I can't believe
it. You're very sort of Parisian editor today.
Oh, thank you.
Is that the look you're going for?
Always, yeah. but yeah, it's just a bit crazy, isn't it? But I have been a bit too crazy this year with my Christmas present buying. It's like, buy one Christmas present, buy one for myself.
Have you done quite a lot of Christmas shopping already?
Yeah, I do it quite early. And if I see things throughout the year, I always buy them.
Have you? Yeah. I haven't bought one Christmas present. Yeah. Sophie, have you bought Christmas presents?
Nothing.
When do you start?
Quite often, like, 3 days before Christmas. Yeah, I am quite a Scrooge. I hate buying presents, and I don't particularly... I mean, I like nice presents, but there's nothing worse than getting a present you don't actually like and having to pretend.
And having to write a thank you letter for something that's
Oh, God, do you do that?
No, you've cost me a stamp and a card.
Yeah, and then I've got to, like, bring it out every time you come around and pretend I like it.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember what it was that you gave me.
Exactly. And not re-gift it back to you.
I'm sure you care about your reputation too much to re-gift
to be fair, no. I just don't even do presents, so I don't re-gift.
I'm with you. We've got to a stage where there are so many of us and so many children that we do just do the siblings now.
Yeah.
Or we do one Secret Santa, so all my brothers and sisters.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
We do one Secret Santa and spend a decent amount of money and kind of really think about what that person might like. Which is so much better than those of crap, isn't it?
So much better. You've got a big family, definitely.
Anyway, so 3 days before, I'm going to try and be a bit more organised.
Well, are we making you feel better when Christmas comes around? At least you know you're more organised than me.
Thank God for Amazon, that's all I can say. And the Shoutouts Christmas gift guide, which is full of ideas.
I'll be going on it.
So let's talk about fashion a bit. Mm-hmm. We wrote a piece about suits recently, and we're really kind of in the era of the suit again. It was big for spring, summer, it's big for autumn, winter. What's your take on a suit?
I don't tend to wear them, just because I feel like they look too formal for me in my work. And I love them on other people, but I have this real thing about wearing oversized clothes. I feel like I don't like oversized jackets because I think I just look bigger than I am. So everything I wear is quite sort of tailored. But then I think on someone else, it looks really cool when they wear that oversized slouchy suit. So maybe it's something I'll embrace, but not quite yet. Not really.
I love that sort of relaxed, slouchy suit. Yeah, I think gone are the days where, like, you know, you have to wear it with heels and everything being very kind of tight and prim. I love it, like, with a sneaker or with a slide and just a bit relaxed, or even, like, with a T-shirt underneath. I love that people kind of are experimenting a bit more with tailoring
and
these
days. I think in the evening it can almost make more of an impact than a dress.
Yeah.
Like, if someone walks into a restaurant and they've got an amazing suit on.
All the girls will notice that. Yeah. I think it's the outfit you wear to impress other girls rather than guys.
Definitely.
Yeah, that's so true. I think it's a really good point, Astrid, about it making a real impact in the evening, but you've got to get it right. So, you know, I think, well, like anything, you've got to get it right, haven't you?
And I think you've got to go extra glam with your hair and makeup as well. At least I would feel like I'd want to make more of an effort with my hair and makeup.
As opposed to, yeah.
Cause if I was just wearing a dress, you can kind of get away with, like, putting your hair up in a bun or...
So true. I remember I got my hair cut quite short when I was at university, and I felt like I had to have, like, full face of makeup on, really girly all the time. Yeah. So I just felt like
just
such a tomboy. Yeah.
But I think the great thing about the suit is it is just so, we talk about things being versatile the whole time. I mean, there is nothing more versatile than a suit, really, is there?
And you do feel, like, all powerful when you've got a suit on. Like, I have had a couple of meetings where I was like, right, I'm going to push the boat out, and if you put a suit on, or, like, you wear a jacket over your shoulders, suddenly you feel like you're all pulled together.
Yeah, it's so interesting how clothing can do that. And actually, we just wrote quite an interesting piece on the psychology of fashion, and I was talking to a friend of mine who's a speech coach, and she's working with lots of kind of chief execs now and helping them deliver presentations better, and she's actually just been to see a personal shopper, and I saw her the other day and I was like, God, you look amazing. And she said, you know, it's really changed not just how confident I am, but how people respond to me. You know, like you were saying, just putting on that suit or putting the jacket over your shoulders or putting on a pair of heels, you just
makes
carry yourself
a
in a different way. I definitely feel different in a heel.
I feel like everything, like your hair, if I've got a blow dry, my nails are done, my makeup's on, everything just, like, sort of helps together, doesn't it?
In terms of your style, you do have a very sort of polished, pulled together look. Do you have any rules, anything you won't wear? What do you go for?
So rules for what I wear, I think I'd never really think about it, but it is quite formulaic. So I'll wear a round neck jumper with jeans at the weekend or on days like today. If I'm getting really dressed up, I love a pencil skirt with a shirt or a t-shirt if it's a bit more sort of relaxed evening. And quite sort of neutral colour palette. I kind of dress like my interiors. Like, sometimes I'll buy something in a shop that's clothes, and I don't know if I like it as, like, a piece of clothing or if I like the fabric for an interior. I'm still trying to work that out.
But is that a curtain or is that a dress?
Yeah, exactly.
Who are your sort of go-to brands?
I love Cos, and actually they are the one brand that I'll buy more oversized clothes with.
I feel like everything on
the coat hanger looks a bit sort of Dutch lesbian, but then you try it on something you feel like cool, slightly more high fashion version of yourself. I love Zara, like everyone does.
And what about higher end brands?
Higher end, I don't buy a lot of designer clothes, to be honest. I'll buy, like, designer coats, so I've got Max Mara coats, and I'll buy, you know, designer shoes and designer bags, but all my clothes tend to be a lot more affordable. Like, this is White Company, these are Adriano Goldschmidt, I think. But I don't really like to spend a lot of money. I'm not tight when it comes to clothes, but I can't really get that excited about it, so I'd rather buy a really nice bag instead.
Yeah,
and then get my outfit from Zara.
Yeah, I'm with you. Let's talk about being the boss, and whether it's okay to disagree with your boss.
Yeah, I love that article because it was a real insight for me as a boss, thinking what it's like for my staff if they ever disagree with me. And to be honest, I respect them when they disagree with me. I think it's all about how you put your ideas across. In the same way, if I disagree with them, I wouldn't necessarily say it in front of everyone else in the team.
Yeah, I thought that was a good point. Don't do it in public.
Yeah. I think as long as they sort of come to me with a valid reason why they think it's a bad idea or why they disagree, what they would do instead, and if they're happy to follow through, because I think that's the most important thing. Like, if you're going to say something's not right, you've also got to be prepared to make it right. So I don't just want to hear problems, I want to hear solutions as well.
That's a very valid point. Lou, Astrid, what do you think?
I completely agree with that. I think it's, you know, no one wants to have someone that disagrees with everything they say, because I don't think you get diversity. You know, I think it's really interesting to see other takes on a situation and how someone else would develop it. Not necessarily to say that's what you do, but I think it's good to kind of consider all possibilities within a team.
I totally agree, especially like the nature of what we do, because we create content that's seen by so many people. I think you do need to kind of have opinions from all different areas.
Yeah, it can't just be one person's voice, otherwise it's not relatable. And I think in what I do, you know, when we design a room, I showed you when you came to the office, we'll put the trays out on the main meeting desk and we'll have them there for 2 weeks before we show the client. And I always tell the team, if there's something you don't like, tell me, because we make tweaks in those 2 weeks and it always gets better for having made those tweaks.
And does that happen? Because I imagine you've got a real sort of aesthetic that is very Sophie Patterson Interiors. Does that, are they very on brand with you in the first place?
Yes.
So ultimately it is just tweaking stuff within the scope of Sophie Patterson's look.
Yeah, definitely. I think when you're working in a creative business, you'd want to feel like what you're producing reflects your own taste to some degree. Obviously we always have to channel that into what the client wants, but we all like similar styles. I feel like things are constantly evolving, so if they put something together that I don't like, you know, I'll always tell them again, and
like a diplomatic way, and vice versa. And I feel like that's what keeps us current and keeps us progressing, keeps everything as good as it possibly can be.
Yeah, I think you need to be pushing and you need to be pushed.
I mean, don't get me wrong, like ultimately, like I sign off on everything. If I don't like it and we disagree, we're going to go with my opinion.
Yeah.
But I like the fact that we have that conversation and we improve.
And I would like to think I'm the same. I think I think it's important if you're a leader to be challenged, and I think that's really healthy. And I think everyone in the team here has good taste and is on brand, but ultimately you're not all going to think the same. No. There's always going to be subjectivity.
Especially if it is creative or if it is visual, that is subjective. That's going to be different for every single person.
Yeah.
So there's not really a kind of a right or a wrong answer with a lot of the things that we do. It's not like it's maths and it's right or wrong. It's going to vary on different taste levels or different days or different moods or anything like that. So I think it's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, there are definitely times when I dig my heels, and Astrid and I have, we have the odd debate sometimes, don't we?
I feel like people sometimes in this office don't speak up as much. And I know that they're thinking something else, whether it's to you or to me.
But you know that I want them to.
Yeah, exactly. I think, why are you just standing there, like,
nodding your head?
Like,
I know
what you're thinking.
But it must be quite intimidating because you've got an open plan office and 25 staff. Like, you've got to be a pretty confident person to be like, by the way, Georgie, I don't agree with what you're saying.
But we're quite a relaxed business, and we're quite a friendly business.
It's always like those kind of disagreements are about content, so it's stuff that should be discussed. If it was something like
it's not personal,
then that should be like in a separate place.
Astrid and I have definitely had moments when when I've said to Astrid, this is just a debate, by the way, and debate's really healthy, and I think it's really good that we don't agree, because Astrid and I are very different people and we have very different outlooks on things. But I think that's really healthy, really important thing. I don't want everyone that's identical to me.
And you want to take kind of skills and assets from different members of the team and then bring that together into like one pool. I think it's really interesting to have.
We have one really, I was thinking in my head, should I share this or not, but I'll overshare and tell you. My team are going to kill me for this. We had one scenario actually where we really disagreed, and it was just after I'd come back from maternity leave, so I think, you know, I'd not been as much in the office as I had previously. And it was a master bedroom for a project that we're installing in the next 6 weeks. And I had put one scheme together, and some of my designers had put another scheme together. And we both loved our schemes. And you sometimes, you know, you put your heart and soul into it, so you really do believe in what you've done. And we just couldn't agree. And I said, you know what? We've done all the work. Why don't we show the client the two options and let them choose, and we'll present to them? But obviously, in the back of my head, I was like, oh my God, what if they don't choose mine?
And choose they choose.
They chose mine.
Thank God for that. You can sleep at night.
Yes, I was very smug.
Well, I think disagreeing with your boss is a really important thing. And I would say I definitely have more respect for people that work in this business that don't agree with me all the time. The interview process, are you a tough interviewer? We wrote a piece on 12 tricky interview questions and how to nail them. I've got one horrible question I always ask.
What's yours?
Mine is, Astrid knows exactly what I'm going to say, is it myriad of reasons or myriad reasons?
That's actually not the one I thought you were going to say.
That's what I was saying. I actually had a bit of a debate, shall we say, with a very bright friend over dinner one night, and he is far brighter than I am, and he was right. And I said it was myriad of reasons. I said myriad of reasons is correct. And he said myriad reasons is correct. You're wrong. Actually, they're both right. But myriad reasons is the kind of, if you're going to be really old school grammatically correct, you say myriad reasons. Mm. And I now always, if I'm testing a journalist, it's a really good test.
I mean,
a really bright
everyone
one
that's listening to this is going to actually think, what even is myriad reasons?
I know. I've given it away then. What were you going to say I always ask?
The iPhone one, or your laptop. If your laptop breaks or if your iPhone breaks, what do you do?
Oh, yeah. I do ask that.
That's
a good question.
The right answer is Google it, not take it to the shop.
Yeah.
That really plays into a millennial. I think that's a real difference between.
I would have thought the answer to that was like, how would you live your life without computers and technology?
Die.
No, like what would you do? Like, would you read more or things like that? Not how do you actually fix it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that would have been okay. That would have been, you know, thinking on the spot. Yeah. But I don't know. I'm a real like, oh, panic, something's broken. Who do I ring? Who can fix it for me? Whereas I think there's a sort of generation now who have grown up with technology so at their fingertips, and I'm kind of almost in that but not quite, where they'll just solve the problem. And occasionally I do Google it and I'm like, done it, yes, well done, pat the back.
I think as well, like, you can get quite lazy. I've got really like efficient people around me, and I've got people that are great at IT, so every time something goes wrong I'm just like,
oh my God, I'm nodding my head. I'm
so really, I don't even try anymore, and I feel like I'm so used to all that stuff I have to like become more self-sufficient, because if something goes wrong at the weekend and I've got other people, no one around me,
I know.
And you do feel really proud of yourself when you've fixed it yourself, you've worked it out, and you've done done it.
I'm also really terrified of like becoming what my mum's like. Like my mum will phone me up and be like, my iPhone's doing something weird.
Yes.
Like she's literally scared of the DVD.
Darling, how do I attach something? And like, it's the most painful conversation. Yeah.
I just don't want to become that. Like, so I always make sure that I'm kind of at least on the periphery of the digital age or whatever you want to call it.
No, well, I think you're pretty good. So Sophie, interview questions, I've given you mine. Anyone listening now knows exactly what they need to
I know,
I'm
kind of like in two minds about whether to say what mine are, but I always thought I was quite a tough interviewer.
I would say, if they find out what your question is, they've seriously bloody well done their research and found out what podcast you're on. They bothered to listen this far into a podcast, so they really want the job.
Yeah, but I'm not looking to recruit stalkers or anything, so I feel like there's a balance. Like, sometimes I've had people come to the office before that literally, and I do share a lot about myself, so I guess that's my own doing, but they've literally known everything about me and it's been a bit too much. But yeah, I always thought I was a tough interviewer, and then I read those questions in that article and I thought, oh my god, like I'm missing a trick here.
Up my game.
Yeah. So I've screenshotted it and I'm going to, because I'm recruiting next year, so I'm going to keep those questions in mind.
And what's your demon question?
I don't think it's one question necessarily. I think it's the fact that when I interview with my two senior designers, because it's important to me, like where we're quite a small team of six, that everyone gels with everyone. So if I was to go away and interview them by myself, I might like them, but they'd have a different perspective. So I think it's quite intimidating for anyone that comes to us for an interview, the fact there's three of us.
Yes.
And we're interviewing in an open plan office, and although everyone's typing away their keyboard, they are listening in.
So if they hold their own, then they've got a bit of backbone and you're interested.
And I think just, you know, I interview quite a long time, and I interview like 23 people and I do it all in 1 week. So you really get a feel, like instantly some people stand out and some people just aren't the right fit.
When it comes to fragrance, Jo Malone London is always first on everyone's list.
Love the packaging.
Oh, don't we all? And we've recently done a bit of work with Jo Malone. And in fact, we interviewed you for a piece we were running on the 12 Jo Malone products that industry insiders swear by. And it was a really nice piece. You said pomegranate noir, diffuser, the perfect combination of pomegranate, pink pepper and spicy woods. This cult diffuser is my go-to. The black sticks are perennially chic and the scent is never overpowering. So we interviewed you and the beauty editor of Vogue and Dolly Alderton from The High Low, Poppy Delevingne. Anyway, it was a really nice piece. Mm-hmm. We've just done a video with Jo Malone on their unsung heroes, because I think a lot of people just buy the same things, don't they? Every year.
I'm definitely guilty of that. I either buy lime and basil or pomegranate.
Okay, you've gone for literally the two best sellers, but God, they're so good.
They're so good, aren't they?
Are there any other Jo Malone products that you swear by?
To be honest, I'd be happy with anything. I think they make great Christmas presents. But I love the big, is it the three-wick candle that comes with a silver lid? I love that.
They're amazing.
If someone buys me that as a present, I'm always happy.
You're very happy. And I'm a big diffuser fan. Are you?
Definitely. Especially now I've got Ava. I don't like burning candles because I feel like I'm so distracted. And if I forget about it, it's just a bit of a fire hazard. So I have them everywhere. So I've got a mix of different ones around the house. It's quite nice if you have them in different rooms. You don't get immune to the smell like you can if it's the same everywhere.
I used to really be against diffusers because I just hated the way that they looked.
Yeah.
And then one of my friends had one and it smelled so incredible. I was like, hey, maybe I'm going to try this.
They're so powerful, diffusers.
And they make great home accessories as well. Like, we'll use really big ones on a coffee table and then group little accessories around it.
That was my next question. Yeah. I know you're big on accessories when you dress a room.
Oh yeah, we hemorrhage accessories.
Yeah, and actually when we went to Holiday House, which we'll talk about later, we walked into a couple of the rooms and I think it was the bathroom. One of the bathrooms looks really great. I said, oh, if you took all these accessories out, this bathroom would do nothing for me. And I know you've got that amazing, what do you call it? The shop shelf.
Yeah.
Which is full of amazing accessories.
Yeah.
But how much are fragrances and fragrance brands sort of part of your accessories mix when you finish a project?
So important, actually. And it was interesting when we did Holiday House, we always do diffusers and candles in our clients' homes, and often they have their own preferred brand they want to do themselves. But if they ask us to do a turnkey project, we'll do it, because before you've seen anything, the smell hits you and it gives you that sort of luxury feel and environment. And when we were doing the Holiday House, Laura Hammett, one of the other interior designers, she completed
her room. I loved her room.
It was gorgeous. I love her work. She completed her room before. We were one of the last rooms to install because we had so much more to do with her. I remember walking in, I actually snuck into Laura Hammett's room. I had a big sign saying, don't come in, but I was too nosy. And literally, as soon as you opened it, she had some diffusers in there. I thought, oh my God, this is so important. Like, we've completely overlooked this. So then we ended up ringing all our suppliers and saying, who wants to give us some diffusers to make sure that our room would smell nice, because it's so important.
Mm. And they look great. I think they do look great. When there's a bit of a gate and something else, then they look quite nice.
I think,
too.
Like, that's the one area that I would definitely, I think it is quite important that you get something that looks nice, because you can get those really cheap, nasty ones you get from the supermarket. And if you're going to use those, you're going to have to hide them behind a photo frame or something.
Yeah, I think the black sticks are really nice. Yeah. I also love the Tom Dixon, the sort of black jar with a piece of coal in. Have you seen those?
Yeah, that's really
I've got one of those in my bathroom. I think you'd like those, because they're dark as well. And are there any other home fragrance brands? that you love, or you know, Aesop, or you know, brands
Aesop
that you always
I love.
Put in.
I always use Aesop for soap. We use a lot of Colty diffusers, but I'm quite annoyed with them because they've changed their bottles. They were glass and now they've become plastic, and it just doesn't feel as nice. And I don't love their fragrances as much as I love Jo Malone, but we use them because they're the really tall. You might see them in our pictures.
Which brand is this?
Colty. They sell it at John Lewis.
Oh.
Really tall diffusers, and they had like a really nice elegant art deco shape, so we use those quite a lot. But I'm on the look for a new one, so we might go to a few trade shows.
So if you're listening, you might have a bit
yeah,
of
get in touch.
Yeah, get in touch with Sophie. According to recent statistics, the average British woman snacks twice a day, commonly eating crisps, nuts, or popcorn, guilty, 7 times a week. But lots of nutritionists, people like Amelia Freer, Jasmine Hemsley, all the people that we think talk real sense, suggest we should be ditching snacks in favour of 3 meals a day. Are you a snacker?
I'm not. The only time I snack is when I'm on holiday and I get bored and I do boredom eating. But during the week, I just don't have time. I barely squeeze in lunch, so I haven't got time for snacks. And actually, we've just implemented this new regime in my office where, because if they have sweets or chocolate in the office, I can't help it, I will eat it. And we get sent a lot of stuff from suppliers. So we contacted all our suppliers and said, at Christmas, don't send us cakes, don't send us chocolate.
You can Your still team send... must be furious.
No, wait, there's an incentive for them. So we don't eat, and I'm sure they all cheat and just don't tell me about it, but we don't eat food, like junk food in the office from Monday to Friday, and then they get to leave early on a Friday. But the deal was if one person eats junk in the office, none of us go home early. But somehow...
Oh, God, that would be...
Surely
they just sneak out on their lunch
break and have a quick Mars bar.
Open their bottom drawer and it's signed. Yeah.
No, but I actually go and raid all their drawers. If I'm, like, in the office late at night, I know which ones have junk and I just go eat it.
Love it! Yeah. What about you two? Are you big snackers?
I'm a big snacker. I actually got sent a screenshot of this from one of my friends.
So, did you?
Because, yeah, I eat little and often.
I've not seen you snacking.
Yeah, I'm a big
What do you snack
snacker.
On?
Anything like almonds, fruit, crisps.
You're a healthy snacker, though.
Yeah. Almonds are good, though. I feel like that doesn't count.
Yeah, but it's still snacking.
Because, yeah, actually, in theory, you're doing more harm to your body if your body's never allowed to get hungry. Mm. I think it's something to do with your hormone levels and things. So actually, your body does need periods of time where...
I think that makes sense. But then I read also on your website about these people that recommend skipping breakfast. And I feel like that just makes my body stressed. And then I end up eating something really unhealthy. I think that depends on the person. But for me, that just doesn't work.
No, I mean, it doesn't work for me either. Astrid, we were saying we'd be on the floor having passed out.
I get so ratty.
10 o'clock. I mean, I would honestly faint.
Same. Mm. I'm just the worst.
But there is quite a lot of proof that fasting in your day or only eating for 8 hours of the day. Yeah. Anyway, we got in real trouble when we talked about that on the podcast. Really? Someone said, surely, Sherlock, you're not condoning skipping meals. So,
I think it's different for every person. That's the first thing I think of as soon as I wake up in the morning. My boyfriend says I pole vault out of bed to go and have breakfast. I generally could not imagine it. But for some people, if they never have, they're just used to just eating lunch. Mm. Or I think it's just,
Everyone's different. I didn't used to snack as much before I worked here. Like now my chocolate habit is out of control.
That's the problem. If you're surrounded by chocolate,
we have a lot of chocolate
addicts, then.
And when you just pop into the kitchen and there's like something
there's
new
something
that's just
there.
Been delivered.
Like today we're getting festive sandwiches sent in.
I know, I'm quite excited about that. Anyway.
You guys are always getting sent food. I need to get in on this action.
Yeah. Well, you wouldn't be allowed it.
Well, healthy things would be good. I hate cooking, so.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah. Well, 4 ways to break the snacking habit are eating fat for breakfast. I won't bang on about my peanut butter love again, but that's definitely
I've got
me snacking in the
I've
morning.
Got a great recipe for you then, because this is what I have every breakfast, is paleo pancakes, which has 4 eggs, 2 bananas, and 2 spoons of nut butter.
Ooh.
You blend it together and it tastes just like a really naughty pancake.
Ooh.
Yeah.
4 eggs?
4 eggs. And I don't eat that all myself. For me, my husband, and Ava.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I quite like the sound
of that.
It's
quite filling.
Try sugar-free, so Lou, you're on the right lines. Think protein and fat and start slowly. Start with trying a 3-hour gap.
between meals.
Continue.
I think a snack. Look, I think ultimately three meals and a couple of snacks is one thing.
Yeah,
if you're just constantly
yeah.
crazy.
And you can't classify all snacks the same. Like almonds, I think that is a healthy thing.
Do you work out, Sophie? You're very trim.
Thanks.
What's your secret?
Banning
anything nice to eat in
your house. Banning anything nice. Actually, I put on quite a bit of weight. When I'm busy at work, I put on weight because I just get lazy. I end up like eating. There's a takeaway, delivery comes daily. And then about
to where? The office or home?
Both.
Really? What for dinner?
Dinner, lunch. I'll go through phases where I'm like a complete domestic goddess, and you'll notice me Instagramming it, and I want everyone to know.
Yeah,
how
I'm sure you. I see you cooking Sunday lunch.
But
and all
if
the
I'm
things
not Instagramming it, it's not happening. Literally, it's like a handful of times a year. But I'm going through a phase right now where I'm being a domestic goddess. I've bought a slow cooker, so I'm doing slow roast, lots of stews, lots of soups.
Slow cooked meat is like the only way
it's
to eat meat if you ask
And it's
me.
So easy and it looks like you've made loads of effort, but you literally bung it in the morning before you go to work and then it's done and you come home.
So can you bung in a bit of lamb?
Yeah.
I hate lamb unless it's slow cooked.
Slow cooked lamb
is so good. With some tzatziki and pomegranate. And
I put cinnamon, loads of herbs and some dried, I want to say figs, but they weren't figs, something like that. Anyway, it just gives it a little sweetness. It's amazing.
And you put that in the slow cooker, turn it on, and you leave it for how many hours?
I think I leave it for about 8 hours.
Really? That long? That's what I like. You can't fuck it up either. Because that's my problem with meat, is I always overcook it.
Yeah.
I basically don't know what I'm doing, so I like the sort of foolproof approach. That's why I'm good at making soup. You can't overcook it. You just keep cooking it until you blitz it. I quite like the idea of a slow cooker.
Yeah, I think they're great. And just doing home cooking, I've lost a bit of weight, and then I've taken up Pilates as well.
Mm.
So I do that twice a week. And actually, everyone that I know, I've got a client who is an amazing Pilates teacher, and she's got the best body. She's had four sons, and she's got the body of a 20-year-old.
Oh, really?
And I always look at people that do Pilates and think, you've got the type of figure that I want, so I thought, I'm going to try it.
Yeah.
And I've only been doing it for about 6 months, but you can see, like, after I had Ava, like, I'd lost my waist, and it's all sort of coming back, and it's relaxing as well. It's like the one time I switch
off.
Did
you mat Pilates or reformer?
Reformer.
Yeah.
The reformer Pilates is amazing.
It's incredible.
I find, I'm not a mat Pilates person, but I did reformer after I had Otto, and it's incredible. Serena Genn, who was on our podcast last week, was saying that, what is it, after 10 Pilates sessions, you notice a change, and then by 30 sessions, basically, of Pilates, your body's transformed, that's what she said. But this was a really interesting piece. It was the 15 mistakes you're making in your gym class. So Tor took yoga, she took HIIT, she took bar, she took running, she took spin, and said these are the mistakes you might be making. So HIIT, for example, which applies to me, going too heavy with the weights. I always thought you had to go the heaviest you could possibly do.
I never do. I'm always like, can I have a lighter one, please?
I always think you've got to really feel it. But she said if it's too heavy, it'll lead to bad technique.
Yeah.
And then you get, which is so true. And sometimes when I lift weights, like a bar, I start to arch my back.
Yeah.
Whereas if I was one down. So that's kind of reminded me, I thought that was quite good. Not working hard enough. I mean, when you do HIIT, if you are not absolutely on death's door by the end of it, you're not working hard enough.
Yeah.
And then there was spinning. So this was Rhianne Stevenson, who's the CEO of Cycle, which I loved, and she said, not putting your resistance high enough. I remember the first time I went to a spinning class, twisting the dial, but not twisting it properly. And I was like, whoa, this is really easy. What are they all fussing about? I'm so fit. And then I went to a class a week later and was on a different bike and did the dial. And I was like, fuck, okay, I had that completely wrong. And the other one she said is using your phone. I mean, who goes spinning and uses their phone? I've never had anything so ridiculous in my life.
I mean, it's my idea of house spinning. I've done two classes and I just can't.
Oh, really? I love spinning.
No, but the seat is so uncomfortable. I can't.
It's so uncomfortable.
And I even got those padded shorts that look awful, but I literally couldn't do it. I've got all the gear and I've never gone back.
Shame.
I also hate classes, like group classes, where they just shout at you.
Yeah.
I hate that. Quite good for your.
I don't mind people being firm, but more in a one-to-one or like a small group. I hate it in a big class.
And running, the other point was running, saying if you run too close to the front of the treadmill, although it gives you a feeling of safety, this position inhibits arm swing, which can lead to a curved back. Give yourself some space. I always run really close to the thing. I'm worried I'm going to fall off the back.
Yeah, me too.
I'm always like, yeah, right.
There's really good tips. I feel like if people are into gym classes, they need to find which one applies to them and the mistakes they're making. Do you read books, Sophie?
I used to love reading books, but I don't have the time anymore. I've got a stack of them that I've been meaning to read for the past year, and every Sunday, I don't even have time to read the Sunday papers anymore, which is my life's greatest pleasure at the weekend. I literally end up checking them out on a Thursday, having not even opened them. So books are just one of those things I have to do when she goes to nursery, I think.
Yeah. And print, Kindle? Do you have a Kindle?
I don't, but I think that's the way I'm going to go, because I always used to feel like I preferred magazines, whereas now I'm so used to screens, I think I'd prefer that.
What about you two? Kindle, print?
I don't have a Kindle, but I can see, like, if you're going on like a long trip or something, I mean, and you're going to get through a couple of books, it's ideal, but yeah, I've not bitten the bullet yet.
I like the fact you can lie in bed and it's got a light and you don't have to turn pages. I've got so lazy.
I was a real kind of print snob, and I got over that, and I kind of think everyone just has to get over the print or Kindle thing. You're looking at me, you don't agree.
I understand it's useful for some people, but I just can't get my head around it. I like having a tangible book. I like turning the pages. I like turning it down. Like, you know, if you've been on the beach and you've got bits of sand in there and it feels like you're properly on holiday. When you just look at a Kindle, I feel like I'm looking, you know, when you get something electric and it's got that kind of shield over the top of it to show you what it would look like with text on it.
I know what you mean.
It just looks really fake to me. And I just can't get my head around it. And maybe it's because I've never used one properly. But for me,
I think even if I bought one, I would still buy books.
Yeah.
I think coffee table books, but going on holiday and packing books. What is that?
I wouldn't take books on holiday.
That's the airport, buy books. No, I don't. I don't have time. I'm always late. Yeah. I'm always rushing in the airport. I always think I've got loads of time and never do.
And I like, look at the covers as well. If you've got a Kindle, you don't have the nice covers.
Yeah, true. Let's talk about UK cities. Because we wrote a piece on the different cities you can live in the UK that don't have the high house prices that we have here in London. And this was really interesting. It talked about places to go if you're into tech and digital. Might be Bristol, they might be Edinburgh. If you're into media, you might go to Manchester, energy, Glasgow. Are there any other cities in the UK you could ever see yourself living in, or you've ever toyed with living in?
We thought about Edinburgh because my husband's from Edinburgh originally, and I love the property there. You can get such beautiful houses and the prices are much cheaper. But for me, it just wouldn't work because all my projects are in London, so I'd just constantly be travelling up and down. But if I didn't do what I do, I think Edinburgh would be a good one.
Yeah, well, I'm with you. I went to Edinburgh University and I loved it. I couldn't cope with the cold. Mm. It's too cold. It would get me, I think. What about you, Lou, Astrid?
Well, my family is Scottish as well, and I used to live in Glasgow when I was very little. So yeah, if it didn't rain the whole time, it would be Glasgow.
Yeah, that's true.
All our like Scottish listeners are going to be so upset now. They'll be like, it doesn't rain all the time, it's not that cold, but
it does.
It is.
Lou? Well, I'm from Bristol and probably its biggest advocate. I absolutely love it. And every time I go home, I think, oh, it's so nice, why don't I live here? So that is definitely on the cards for the future. But Bath as well, my boyfriend and I absolutely love that. I think it's really beautiful architecture.
I said to my husband this morning when he was getting dressed for work, which cities would you like to live in if we didn't live in London? He said, yeah, Bath or Cheltenham. Cheltenham's not a city, Cheltenham's a town, but Cheltenham's lovely. Yeah. But yeah, Bath, we went to Bath the other day and we were walking around and I was like, what kind of businesses are there around here? Yeah. And he was like, not businesses like Sherlock, so that's
it. It's really great. And also with the new high-speed train line, I think you can be in London within like 40 minutes or something.
Really?
It's so lovely.
Yes. That's where I went to university, actually. Yeah. And I kind of feel like I would love Bath, but you know when you've grown up somewhere, you've been somewhere, you always feel like you want to move on somewhere new?
Yeah.
I don't think I could live there for that reason. I just associate it.
What a nice place to go to university. Yeah. What did you study?
Spanish and international management. So nothing to do with interiors.
Did you know at university you wanted to be an interior designer?
I did, and actually, like you, I wanted to leave early, but I kind of thought, you know, it was a 4-year course, and it was in my final year, and I went to go and speak to my tutor, and he just looked at me and was like, this would be such a mistake, you'd be throwing 3 years down the drain, so I stuck it out, and I'm really glad that I did, because it's just nice to have that.
Yeah.
Not that I actually use it, but I do still speak Spanish, that's nice.
Do you? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did French, also 4 years, but I tried to leave in my first year, not my fourth, so... Anyway, I managed to stick it out.
And do you still speak French?
Badly.
Yeah.
Not proud of my French anymore, which is a shame, but even my year abroad, I went to Paris and I worked for an international company and a business language. I worked for Coty, which is a big beauty company. Everyone spoke English. My boss was German, so you know, everyone spoke English.
Yeah, we get so lazy, don't we?
Yeah. So I came out with good work experience, but not great French.
When people speak to you in English and you're sort of preparing yourself, like, okay, I'm going to give it a go, and then they speak to you in English, you're like, damn, is it that obvious?
Yeah, I know.
That was the trouble with doing your year abroad in Paris, is all the Parisians, the minute you open your mouth, they just speak back to you in English.
I hate that.
Fuck, am I that bad?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Is it obvious?
On the subject of going outside London obviously has incredible restaurants. But when it comes to cosy pubs, you can't beat the country. I know you love a pub lunch and a walk in the country. I always see you on your Instagram going to lovely places. Where do you recommend to anyone listening for a really nice cosy Sunday lunch?
My favourite place is the Leconfield in Petworth. I mean, I Instagram it constantly. It looks like I go nowhere else. But they just have the most gorgeous food, gorgeous interiors. And Petworth, actually, go on a Saturday because all the antique shops are open. And there's a great boutique, which is actually where I buy a lot of my casual clothes. I think it's called 20 Petworth. So we tend to go for lunch, have a couple of glasses of wine, and then hit the shop afterwards and have a really big
Clever. So the Swan Inn in Esher, do you know that one?
I've been there a couple of times, that's good. They've got good food. I think the brother who owns it has a Michelin star, so that's always quite promising. It's like there's the Three Horseshoes in Thursley,
And it looks nothing to look at, but it's got real fires and they've got beautiful walks around there. So we go there quite a lot because we take our dog and it's dog friendly.
Lovely. God, it's just the nicest way to spend a Sunday, isn't it? We had on this list the Wheatsheaf Inn in Cheltenham, which is now part of the Lucky Onion group. It was sold, the guy that started it sold it to them. And that's an awesome pub. I love the Cotswolds. I mean, it's been
fun for
lunch,
yeah.
But it's also got rooms. So if you're looking for a night away, I really recommend.
I think that's an offer.
Is it? Well, it's a great one. What else was on here? And the Greyhound on the Test in Stockbridge. Do you know Stockbridge, Sophie?
I've never been. Where
I think
it?
You'd really like it. It's got a couple of really lovely art galleries and some antique shops.
Where is Stockbridge then?
Stockbridge is Hampshire, okay. I think. But it's a really lovely pub. And again, it's got rooms. It's very far and bald. Mm. It's got delicious food. My in-laws love going to stay there for the night, so I really recommend that one. Any on this list that you've been to?
The Beckford Arms in Wiltshire.
Oh, yes.
It's really nice. They have rooms as well.
That's
if you want to stay
to be
over.
Great.
Really lovely. Food's delicious. They've got like a really lovely lounge room afterwards that you can just chill in. Really cool bar.
Sounds lovely.
Yeah, really nice.
Is the Wild Rabbit on there?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Yes. Oh, that's
lovely. I
love
the interiors
isn't
there.
It?
Literally, we went to stay there and I just ended up taking photos the entire time. Yeah, Kevin's
so
like,
nice.
Get off your phone.
So, how else do you relax? Sophie,
good question.
When you're not working.
I just don't think I relax that much, actually. I read this question, I was like, how do I relax? I love having a bath. I think a bath or a shower in the evening when I finish work is a good way to switch off from work. I do like cooking when I'm going through my domestic goddess phase. And I'd say the one place where I really relax is California. We go there every year during the winter for a long extended time. And I think it's the fact that it has a different time zone as well. So often when I go on holiday, I'll take my laptop with me and I'm working. Whereas there, because of the time difference, I actually
just
I'm forced to switch off and it's the best thing ever.
Yeah, it's a good point that actually putting yourself in a different time zone just makes it impossible.
It's literally the only way.
Yeah. And what about at the weekends? What does a typical weekend look like? A pub lunch? A walk?
So on Saturday we'll tend to go, this is a recent thing we've started doing now that I'm cooking, we'll walk to some of the local farm shops near us. I like to support the local businesses like butchers, fishmongers, and actually, although I prefer it, like, I hate going to the supermarket, I just feel like every time I go I'm like, oh, is this what my life's come to? It just feels so boring. Whereas going to those...
It's called a cardo, Sophie.
Well, I'm not organised now, I'm like Mrs. Last Minute Doctor.
How are you not organised? Your home is spotless, well, your office is spotless.
Everything that's been delegated is organised so well, but all the things that come down to me is just like shopping and cooking is just total chaos and last minute. On a Saturday we like to go to those individual shops and I just quite like the process and the people are really nice and funny. And then we'll go out for lunch to a restaurant. And then Sunday I tend to do a big roast with Yorkshire puddings, have family round.
Oh.
And I just make a whole day of it, so we just stay in the house. And it's much easier with Ava as well, because she's got a playroom now, to have people round. And then
is your playroom? I'm longing to see
it. It's a work in progress.
Is it?
It's definitely not ready for sheer looks to see.
And you're doing your utility room.
My utility
as well.
Room, yeah. I'm really excited about that.
Do you get to a point in your own house where you say, I'm done? Do you think?
Or
are you always tweaking? Is your style always changing?
It's not that my style's changing. It's just that when we bought the house, we couldn't afford to do it all how we wanted to do it. So the utility room was very much a case of cheap cabinets. And now I'm giving it my dream utility room, which is exciting. And then obviously the dining room became a playroom. So I feel like after that, I'll be done.
Do you think modern houses don't need a dining room anymore? Has the dining room died to death?
I mean, I was so sad to let mine go because it looks beautiful. But
it
in reality,
stunning.
And what I liked about it was the fact that it had the double doors open from the kitchen into the living room. But in reality, all I ever did was look at it. I never went in there. Like maybe had like two or three dinner parties a year. And when you've got a kid, it's just not really how you live your life. So I feel like for me, it was a waste of space. And I'm really glad that I changed it into a playroom, even though it killed me. And it looks horrendous. And I have to just shut the doors at night when Ava's gone to bed.
Love you for it.
What's that?
My daughter will love you.
Yeah, and actually it's made our life much more enjoyable because we used to have a little play corner in the kitchen and like we had this amazing house and I would spend my entire time sat on the floor on this little foam mat. I was like, this just isn't living the dream. I'm just going to do something else.
So now you're eating in the kitchen, which is the modern way.
We eat in the kitchen. We always did. Yeah, we eat in the kitchen. And if it's if we have like guests around, we have a big table, so we sit there. And if it's just me and my husband, we sit at the bar stools.
And has your taste changed a lot since you started your business? I mean, I feel like the first house I bought, I remember I was really into kind of that French shabby chic look, and my house now is a bit more modern and I kind of want to do another project. Do you feel like your taste is changing as the years go by?
I feel like I'm very, like, I'm always going to stick true to my ethos of classic contemporary interiors. I want to have interiors that will last for like a good 5 to 10 years.
But I think since moving to the country, my personal style, not for my clients, but my personal style is a bit more rustic. Probably still contemporary by most people's standards. I have a very seamless kitchen, but then I like mixing a few antiques and some wicker baskets.
You like your wicker baskets.
I mean, they are growing by the truckload at the moment because I'm trying to control all the toys. But it's just Ava's favourite thing to do is literally go up to a wicker basket and just chuck stuff out.
Tip everything out. Yeah. I know. God, Mimi's like that too. She, I don't know what, she's sort of feral. She just grows.
I know.
She opens a children's wooden kitchen, the IKEA wooden kitchen. Have you got one of those?
I'm doing an IKEA hack on it.
Are you?
Yeah, I was going to do it for Ava's first birthday, and it's actually just been sat in my garage because I ran out of time. But I've spray painted the cabinets. I've put a sticker back.
Only Sophie has taken the IKEA children's kitchen and spray painted it.
I can't take credit for it. I found it on Pinterest, and actually loads of people have done this, so you can find it on Pinterest. But there's a sticky back plastic that looks like marble, so I've done that for the worktop.
Oh my god, it's all grey and gold.
And then
Ava
and the cabinets are grey.
Worktop,
and then I've spray painted her tap and her handles and like an antique bra. And I'm on the hunt for some mini wicker baskets because it's got, you know, it's got the shelves above. I'm going to put some wicker baskets.
Oh, so sweet. Stop. Yeah. That is just bonkers. Sophie, have you taken pictures of the processes you've been going along?
I have.
Please, can we run an article on how you hacked IKEA's?
Okay.
You know IKEA hate hacks.
Do they?
Yeah. We contacted them because we've done quite a few IKEA hacks pieces and they do so incredibly well.
Yeah.
And they,
why would they hate them?
Because apparently like, it's all about Scandinavian design and everything's really functional and thought about. And there's like such a process in place for all IKEA products that they just can't abide anyone.
But it's such a like neutral base. You'd like to be able
exactly.
to
have
your such an amazing brand thing for them. Like,
yeah. I feel like it's a real trend. And to be honest, I would only buy it for Ava, but I wouldn't buy it if I couldn't hack it. So.
Anyway, if you're listening and you're in the market for a children's kitchen, the IKEA children's kitchen is an absolute winner.
And do you know what else you've got to get? I got. I just went to Waitrose the other day and they do the mini shopper bags and I got one for Ava and she loves it.
Oh, sweet.
She's actually learning how to tidy up because she just wants to put everything in her bag at the moment.
Happy days.
And then John Lewis do the mini Waitrose trolley, which
I'm
getting for Christmas.
Goodness.
I feel like I'm buying it all for myself because she's still too young to appreciate this, but I'm hoping she's going to grow into it.
Oh my gosh, she's going to love it. Well, I cannot wait to see the photos of Ava's kitchen. Let's talk about Holiday House.
Yes.
For anyone listening, it's these two houses developed by a property developer,
mm-hmm.
and he's partnered with a charity, that's right, isn't it?
Yeah, so Holiday House is an American charity, and they've done loads of holiday houses, loads of show homes in America, and this is the first time they've come to London. So they found one of the people who's heavily involved in the charity lives very close to the properties, so she saw these two properties being developed and approached the developer to ask him if he wanted to take part, and for him, it's obviously a great opportunity. He gets the whole houses designed and furnished. And he gets lots of publicity, so I'm sure he was delighted to take part.
Yeah, I mean, a pretty smart move. When I went, it was packed with kind of very glam women having a nice day out.
I feel like there's going to be lots more of them now because I think it's been really successful.
And who doesn't want to go and have a nosy around the house? And the beauty of it was, I got to see some of my favourite interior designers doing stuff kind of in the flesh, and I loved your kitchen.
Thank you.
A triumph. I mean, it really is.
Thank you.
Stunning.
We were so happy with that.
God, I'm well.
We
were
like,
surprised.
It was a case of just go big or go home. Because if you're going to make yourself that open to public opinion, you've got to make sure you're doing your absolute best.
Well, it was stunning. And that splashback, that antique mirror, is that what you'd call it? Splashback?
Yeah, it's called Eglamise mirror. So it's all real silver gold leaf behind. And then he's distressed it, but it's Stuart Fox. He did a great job.
It's incredible.
Yeah. I love that. And it's actually quite practical as well because it hides some of the marks. I mean,
yeah, occasionally a smag bowl for my children and it does always splatter up.
Yeah.
So anyway, I think
it's easy to wipe
clean
as well.
Stunning.
Thank you.
I love a cool and clever splashback and I kind of thought I'd seen them all until I saw that.
What have you got in your house?
Well, it's funny you should ask because I've just got glass at the moment and I've been umming and ahhing between some herringbone marble. But I still haven't gone on and done it. I've been keep saying, get on and do it.
I'm doing herringbone marble in my utility room. I found an amazing one, Mandarin Stone. Do some gorgeous, like nice thin herringbone because a lot of them in America, in the UK, are quite chunky. Whereas they've got the very thin herringbone in a grey.
Oh, good to know.
Good price as well.
So Holiday House, has it been a success?
Yes. I mean, I think I'd have real fear of missing out if we hadn't been asked to take part. So it's been really great to do that and be part of the first one. And it's had some great press, like all the feedback we've had loads of people on their Insta stories, Instagram.
I checked the cushions for you. I knew you were psyching out that your cushions might not be in place, and we got there, and I was like, oh no. But as I was signing in, I saw Brett and Anthony had signed in just above me. And I went, oh, Brett and Anthony here. I was going to say hello, and I went down, and they were.
Oh, were they not there?
I don't know where they were. They were.
I think they were aware they were in the building, but
they were eating celebrations in the corner.
Were
they? Bad for any sweet treats.
As long as that doesn't happen in the office, I don't care what they do.
The only thing I would say about your kitchen is it wasn't full of Pick-a-Mix. There is a kitchen in there.
Oh.
There's two houses.
Yeah.
And one is Philippa Knicks.
I'm sure.
Absolutely
seven.
Amazing.
I don't think that that was actually for people to eat. I think that was more of like a standing accessory.
I did check before I helped myself, and he said they'd just been topped up. So
lucky.
I topped it, obviously. We had shrimps and white mice. I mean, hello.
Ideal. I saw that on your Instagram story and was like, oh my God, Georgie, I have to go.
I know. Just for Pick-a-Mix. You could just go to cinema and have some Pick-a-Mix. Anyway, it was great. I thought your kitchen was amazing. I thought Turner Pocock's bedroom.
Yeah, I love Turner Pocock. They always do such nice detail.
They really do. That was stunning. And my third favourite room would have to be the girls' bedroom. There is this teenage girls' bedroom
yeah.
with neon lights and God, it's pink and it's fluffy and it's just God, it's like every teenage girl's dream. So if you haven't been to Holiday House, do check
yeah, you've
it out.
Literally got it's until the 10th of December, so you've got to go quick.
You got a week.
Yeah.
Well, after Holiday House, what new projects? What are you working on?
We've got 13 projects at the moment, which are all full houses. So that's
13?
Yeah.
We were discussing earlier how many projects you might work on at any one time, and I said maybe 3 to 5. 13?
Yeah, 13's a lot for us. But they're all staggered at different times, so it's, you know, it's controllable and manageable. But as well as that, I want to do a book, which I'm very much a believer in putting the message out into the universe. And I feel like if you say publicly you're going to do something, you have to do it. So I've said I'm going to do a book, and I'm at the moment meeting with writers and agents, and I've met with quite a few other interesting women who've written bestseller books, maybe in different environments, like The Figure Magician. I know you met her. She's written some great books. And Nina Campbell, who's a massive deal in interior design, she's written, I think she's about to do her 6th or 7th book. So they've all been giving me loads of advice. So that's the one thing that I'd really like to do, because I feel like a lot of people want my advice and I just can't reply to everyone's individual questions. It's not possible. So I'd like to, my first book, I'd like to do a sort of coffee table book, like a sort of portfolio, but more of the stories behind the interiors and some little tips. And then eventually I'm going to do a book which gives career advice. So I feel like there's definitely a gap in the market for that. I would love to buy it if someone else did one. So
would I, Sophie. I'd like to buy both of those books. Yeah. So now you've said it, you've got to do it. Yeah. Sophie, thank you so much for joining us today. And thanks for joining us all week. It's been an amazing week. It's not over yet. We've got lots more content to come. If you haven't been following, then visit showlux.com and check out some of the articles that we have collaborated with Sophie on. That's it for this week. If you have any feedback, then do email podcast@showlux.com. And do please rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes. See you next week.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.